Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the services of God's house here at Zion Lutheran Church this morning. We begin our divine service with the singing of our opening hymn, "Oh That I Had a Thousand Voices."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, April 14th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 811, "Oh That I Had a Thousand Voices," hymn number 811 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Donna McLaughlin is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in remembrance of her father, Don Dunneth, on his birthday on April 6th. The Don Miller Memorial is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
Rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Glory be
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. First reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter, from the book of Acts, the third chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. While the lame man, who was now healed, clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, he made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Table of Duties, what does the Table of Duties say to youth?
Young men. In the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourself in humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.
The epistle reading from 1 John, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there's any children who'd like to come forward this morning for a children's message, you're welcome to do so at this time. Looking at this words. Are you familiar with words? Words? How about you guys? Kinley? Words? Words? You know words, right? Just words. Words. Like words. It says we should be called children of God. What's a child? Yeah, you're a child. You're a child. You're a child. You're a child, right? So we're children of our earthly parents, but we're also children of God. Do you know where we were made children of God at? Right up here in your baptisms, you were made children of God. And he brought you into his family through the waters of holy baptism. Now, there's other words, too. There's children. Then there's sin. And we use this word a lot. Sin. Yeah, we do. And this word sin, what is it? Ooh. Doing something bad. Have you ever done anything bad? Yeah. How do you know? Well, like, who's the people in your life who say, "Do this and don't do that"? Parents. So children hear words from their parents that help us how and teach us how to live, right? Okay. So we've got words and parents, and we've got words like baptism and children and sin. So if parents say, this is how you should, let's just say, behave, right? And you don't do that, is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
Okay. It's wrong. And it might be something like, do clean your room, and you don't clean your room. Is that right or wrong? It's wrong. Yeah. And so when we go against what our parents ask us to do, it's wrong, correct? Okay. All right. And so if God is our Father and we are His children, where does He ask us to do things? What does He tell us what's good to do and what's not good to do? In the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And then the other seven commandments along with that. When we don't listen to what God says, when we get frowny face, stomp our feet, say, no, I'm not going to do that, what is that called? It's called sin. So sin is every thought or word or action that goes against what God asks us to do. Can we fix that all on our own? No, even among people, people don't forget, do they? So when we use harsh words, when we are mean and disrespectful, does that ever go away? No, it doesn't go away. But we can take it from our memory and choose not to dwell on it. We can choose not to think about it. That's called forgiving somebody, acting as if it never happened. But God sent His Son so that He would pay the price for all of our sins, all of our not doing what God has asked us to do, for disobeying the Ten Commandments and not following God's will. Jesus made it so they're gone. They're gone. All those things that we call sin are gone. As a matter of fact, this morning we had the confession and absolution. Did Pastor Thompson stand up here this morning and say, because I'm so handsome and awesome and wonderful, everybody's sins are gone? Didn't say that, did we? Did we say God sent His only Son to die for us? And for His sake, He forgives us all our sins. Yeah. So God takes away our sins, just takes them away from us. Takes them away from us because of what Jesus has done for us. And really, that's our message. God takes away sins because of what Jesus has done for us. We come in the morning on Sunday because, well, why Sunday? Why do you think we come on a Sunday? Absolutely. That's when Jesus rose from the grave. So every Sunday is an Easter memory for us. Every Sunday is a memory of the day when Jesus Christ rose from the grave and we know that our sins are paid for. And every Sunday we say, Jesus, I've sinned this week. Please take away my sins. And Jesus takes away our sins. And that's why we're here this morning, to hear that Jesus takes away our sins. Say a prayer. Can you fold your hands with me? Dear God, thank you so much for sending your Son to be perfect in our place. Thank you for his dying and rising again to show us that our sins are paid for. Continue to forgive our sins as we confess them. Bless this congregation and our families. And bring us at last to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming down. I appreciate it very much. If you would, go ahead and head back to your seats, and we'll continue with the singing of the hymn. It is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus gives his disciples a mission to go out into all the world to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And this message is to go to all nations, though it will begin at Jerusalem and spread out from there. again, we find Jesus establishing who he is. You know, we read in the gospel reading how he appeared to the front of the disciples. They're afraid, they see a spirit, and he says, "It is me." And when he says, "It is me," he's kind of saying, "I am," the same thing that God spoke from the burning bush. He's making a claim to godhood at that point. He says, "You know, touch my hand, or see my hands, see my feet. Do you have any fish to eat?" So we see the risen Lord and Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ, who is also true God, true man, and true God. What freight does these words that he greets them with carry? He says, "I am me. See, I am me." Now, things are written down for a reason. The words are recorded for important reasons and specific reasons. And those words, "I am," are incredibly important to our ears, and not just our ears, but to the disciples' ears also. Jesus is telling the apostles that he is the I am of the Old Testament. The one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush is the one who stands before them now in flesh and blood. He was born, he was condemned, he was beaten, he was nailed to a cross, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. The very same I am who is raised from the dead remains now the eternal I am. Jesus is the one who assured Israel of his presence during the first Exodus. And Jesus, greeting his disciples with the words, "I am me," assured his disciples of his continuing presence with them. The man resurrected before them is the very same Jesus who took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." He took the cup after supper and he blessed it and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." He assured his disciples of his continuing presence with them. He assured the 12 and then we ourselves that he was with us. On the night when he was betrayed, he said, I am in the midst of you as one who serves. The God-man stands with his apostles even as he stands in the midst of us, according to his promise, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them. Jesus now comes to his people to proclaim the peace that he has won and bring that peace. Here is the radical God doing radical things. The great I am became one of us. In the greatest gift of love, the Creator became a human being. He dwelt with us to redeem us and to restore us and to bring us into a right relationship with God the Father. I am has come to bring peace upon the world, just as the angels proclaimed at his birth, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." God and humanity are now united in peace, and this is a peace which we are to proclaim through the preaching of repentance and faith. The work of redemption is accomplished, and Jesus is teaching the apostles about applying the good news of salvation, not just to the people of Jerusalem, but to the entire world. The suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are for you also. The hearer of the word, the reader of the word. The gospel is to be grasped by faith, a faith that is worked by the Holy Spirit as the preaching of repentance leads to the forgiveness of sins and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What then is repentance? Contrition and faith. Sorrow over your sins and faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the one who takes your sin away. To have contrition means to have true terror over your sins, the feeling of the wrath of God over the sin, to the end that there is anguish of heart along with a longing for the mercy of God for his salvation. Take, for instance, Peter preaching in our first reading for today. Wow! It's a good thing Christ has proclaimed to him that he has this mission to go and proclaim these things. What did he say? He said, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant." the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. This God, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant, Jesus. He establishes what God has done, which God, the very true God. And he establishes who the servant is, Jesus. And then he cuts him. You handed that one over. You know, I know as the people got around, they had to project their voices so people could hear. And I spent a lot of time this week trying to figure out how Peter would have delivered these words. Would have, you killed him! You delivered him! You delivered him over! You. You delivered him over. Was it conversational? I've got no way of knowing. It's just an exercise in trying to figure out how these words would have come across. You delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be granted to you. And you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. Here is powerful preaching, pulling no punches. Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things. It expresses the deity of Christ. Have you ever gotten in trouble? I mean, been in trouble and just wish you'd get yelled at. You're caught. Just yell at me and get it over with. And I wonder if Peter's just like hurt and wounded as he says, you, my brothers, You did this. You killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. You delivered. You denied the Holy One. You asked for a murderer to be released in his place. You killed the author of life. That was bold preaching, however it was and however it came across. And Peter was very bold to do that. In fact, he was risking his life to do that. They had stoned the prophets before. They crucified Jesus. People had been killed for saying things like he said. And so it is, and it has ever been, with the spread of the gospel, with the spread of the faith. Great risk is taken to save those who would be lost. Peter then follows up. And can you imagine the looks? I mean, this isn't texting, right? That dastardly thing about texting is you can't see anybody's face. So you can say the meanest thing or post the meanest thing online. You can't see that you've hurt somebody. You can't see. It allows you to, not you, but people in general. It allows people in general to do things maybe they wouldn't do. But boy, stand in front of a crowd and you can see people's faces turning like thunderclouds. You can see people's faces being drooping in shame. You can see people's faces wide-eyed in wonder. This is what Peter is saying. Right? This is what Peter is saying. And he's standing in the temple doing this. Now, brothers, I know, he says, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Oh, don't you just love to be called ignorant? Boy, that's fun, isn't it? Oh, you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But the guilt remains. Ignorance or no ignorance, the guilt remains. Fear God and his wrath and repent, says Peter, and produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Turn back to God, humble yourselves, confess your sins to Him so that He may blot them out and remember them no more. Sin and grace, contrition and faith. Jesus forgives sins and His forgiveness is real and concrete. Where sin and God's wrath are not felt, though no one can come to repentance. If you don't feel the wrath of God, you're not going to repent of your sins. And then to forgiveness of sins, Christ commands us to begin with the law and the preaching of repentance for sin. Again, take Peter as an example. He was very bold to break the consciences of his hearers. And that's never easy to do. We don't like to be confronted with our sins. We don't like to be pointed. They have things like disrespect of our parents pointed out, lusts of the flesh pointed out, neglecting to love our neighbors as ourselves pointed out to us. And now before we get the here we go again feeling, right? Because you know how this goes. That good Lutheran sermon. Here's the text. You're all poor, miserable sinners. Jesus died for you. Right? So you're getting that. You're about there. You're about there getting that, oh, here we go again feeling. Well, let's remember that we're all Christians here. And there is a presupposition that we approach this with. And what is that presupposition, you ask? Well, the presupposition is that you're already here with a broken conscience. You're already here and that you intend to indeed wrestle with your fallen nature. You are here because you desire to hear the words of forgiveness, of life and salvation. You know that you wrestle with your conscience, and you know that you wrestle even with your wrestling. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes we know that we should be in terror over the wrath of God concerning our sins, but we're not sure that we are. There's a good chance that sometimes we're regretful that we've injured ourselves more than we're ashamed that we've offended God, being more ashamed of our stupidity and harm that the sin has done to us or others rather than the guilt of the offense against God. We all wrestle with that. We all do that. Then there are the other times when we know we ought to feel something, but we don't. We know that we ought to feel the guilt and the terror and the remorse, and we're scared that it isn't coming naturally, but we don't want to fake it and manufacture it. We've all felt that way at a dozen times or another, in one way or another. We're truly complex creatures who do in fact sorrow over sin one day, don't sorrow but want to another day, and still on another day flee from the wrath and judgments of the Word in favor of self-justification. And in all such circumstances, when we need We are wrestling with all this, what do? We don't want to look inside of ourselves. We want to look outside of ourselves. We want to look to the Word and see what the Word proclaims to us. Because it is the Word of God that condemns sins and proclaims Christ's righteousness to us. It is the Word which declares righteousness upon those who have faith in the forgiveness of their sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. It is the Word which declares righteousness upon those who have faith in Christ. It's post-Easter. The Lord is risen from the grave and bringing life and salvation to all the world and to everyone who would heed His call to repent and sorrow over our sins and trust Him for forgiveness. As we encounter the Word, we either through Scripture or the sacraments, let us each of us examine ourselves in the light of the law of God. Let us rightly see our sin and then believe the proclamation of Jesus of Nazareth. He is indeed the great I Am who has paid for our sins, is the one who gives life and salvation to each and every one of you, so that trusting in His name, you have the riches of the forgiveness of all your sins, the promise of heaven at your own death, and the confidence of the resurrection of the dead upon His return in glory. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, in your presence we find fullness of joy, and by your right hand, Christ Jesus, you win and deliver peace forevermore. In the midst of this world's sins and sorrows, give us peace in the knowledge of his salvation and confident hope in the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, by the incarnation of your Son and the reconciliation of his cross, you have made us your children and gathered us into your holy Christian church. Sustain the preaching of your word and its message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name among us and among all the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are your children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy. God of all good gifts, you gave unto us the priceless gift of marriage, so that a man and woman might walk through newness of life together as one flesh and find delight in one another. Receive the praise and thanksgiving of Dave and Stephanie Offerman as they this week have celebrated 35 years of marriage. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of their love and devotion, children and grandchildren, and the life they share together. Be with them constantly and give unto them many more years to celebrate their marriage. Lord, in your mercy. God of all comfort, you have compassion on those who are afflicted. Remember and have mercy on Reese as he continues to recover from his surgery. Be with all indeed who are recovering from their surgeries and their illnesses. Grant them strength of body as well as strength of faith. And bless all those in need of your healing deliverance, that they might trust in you and in your will. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. Enrollment for this year is currently open. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Singing of the offertory.
Thank you.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn today is hymn number 830, Spread the Reign of God the Lord, hymn number 830 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Please be seated. Couple things. First, youth group this afternoon is rock climbing at Upper Limits. So if you've turned in your permission slips and you've turned in your fees already, those of you who have already done that, meet at the church parking lot in the back at 1 o'clock this afternoon for carpooling over to Upper Limits, and then they shall return between 4:45 and 5 o'clock. Also, this week after service, if you sponsored a lily and you'd like to take one home with you, please do that after service this morning. And on the back here, there's quite a bit going on at school. Dr. Perry, did the skates arrive?
Yes.
Okay. So I was, before I said, hey, they're skating this afternoon, I'm going to make 3 to 5 this afternoon, family skate out at school. And it says tropical family skate. And so that means Mike Ray's wearing a hula skirt, right? Yeah, something like that anyway. But no, seriously, look on the back here. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of spring concerts, Teacher Appreciation Week, end of year potluck celebration. You've got all these things going on. Plus, don't forget registration. And so you looking at a question? No? Okay. All right. I thought I said something. He's like, no, don't say that. Also make sure to note the registration on the back end. The early registration is about to come to an end, and the prices will increase on registration. And may the Lord watch over all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.